At this time, Sister Kaylee has a special to share, and then Pastor Jerry gets to preach.
Kaylee came to us with this song, and it's a Bethel? Hillsong, sorry. It's a Hillsong song. It's a Hillsong song. But there was a line in it, and it reminded me of something that happened a couple of years ago in my life, and I was going through a period of fasting and praying, and I had something that was really heavy on my heart, and it felt like it was bearing down on my life with Christ. And God gave me a vision, and He showed me a wall, and there was a door in this wall. Everything, I was on the one side, I could see that really clearly, and it was kind of normal, and God allowed me to see, to give me a glimpse of what was on the other side of that wall. And it was incredibly beautiful. The colors were vibrant, and it was just so amazing. And He took me back to the sort of normal side. And now it seemed like it was black and white, and there was no color in it. And He said to me that you can continue living with Me and your life will go on, and it'll be fine. It'll be normal. But having had a glimpse of what was there, I wanted that. The thing was that if I went there, it meant that I was going to have to give up everything. The thing in my life that was holding me back, I needed forgiveness for. I needed forgiveness from God. I needed forgiveness from myself. And I needed forgiveness from the ones that I had hurt. And I wasn't sure whether I could do that. But God had given me that glimpse of that amazing, amazing picture. And I said, okay, God, I'm willing to give up everything. My life, my marriage, my family, whatever I need, I want that. And it was incredible. I walked through what God was asking me to do, and my life has been changed ever since. And I want to tell you that it wasn't a decision for Christ, because I'd already made that a long time ago, but it was a step into something even greater.
Waking up knowing there's a reason, all my dreams come alive, life is for living with you. I've made my decision. You lift me up, fill my eyes with wonder, forever young in your love, with freedom's untainted with you. No moment is wasted. See the sun now bursting through the clouds, black and white turns to color all around. Life is new in the Savior I am found, and this is living now. Ooh, this is living now. Take me higher than I've been before. It's your perfect love that sees me soar. God, your freedom is an open door. You are everything I want and more. You lead the way, God, you're right beside me. In your love I'm complete. There's nothing like living with you. This life you created, I choose. And see the sun now bursting through the clouds, black and white turns to color all around. Life is new in the Savior I am found. This is living now. Ooh, this is living now. You take me higher than I've been. Your perfect love that sees me soar. God, that your freedom is an open door. You are everything I want and more. See the sun now bursting through the clouds, black and white turns to color all around. Life is new in the Savior I am found. See the sun now bursting through the clouds, black and white turns to color all around. Life is new in the Savior I am found. This is living now. Ooh, this is living now. You take me higher than I've been. Your perfect love that sets me star. God, your freedom is an open door. You are everything I want and more. This is living now. This is
Well, it is a great privilege to be here at Harmony on New Year's, first Sunday in New Year's. It's a privilege, and thank you, Pastor Bruce, for allowing me this honor. And thank you, people, for your love and your care over this past year. We've had some highs and lows, and perhaps all of you could all say the same thing. There's been tough things we've come through and are going through, and some things were just awesome. We come home from our bus every day, and there's a little boy standing at the picture window, banging the window and walking us home with a big smile. And that's Daniel. Yeah. That's very encouraging for us. Here we are up there. How many of you already have made a New Year's resolution? Oh, I see a hand out there. Very good. Not too many here inside. You know, nobody's made any New Year's resolutions. Why do we not make a New Year's resolution? Because perhaps we've made them before and it didn't make it very far, eh? So I looked up some New Year's resolutions that the world considers that they try and make. And here's some here, if you can look at them. Number top there, lose weight. I guess we all like that. Get organized, get out of debt. Save more, stay fit and healthy, drink less booze, and quit smoking. Go to church is even on the world's list. Imagine that. And fall in love. Well, that's pretty exciting. And spend more time with family. But I decided to do something for you this morning. I decided to make some New Year's resolutions for the Harmony Church. All right, so here's my list. Read the whole church bulletin. All right, number two, actually sing during worship. That's right. Guess what? I've looked around many times during worship time and saw a lot of people not singing. But anyways, all right. Number three, cut back on eating the muffins at the back. I've cut back time. I'm only going to eat four now. All right. Stop playing games on your phone during the sermon or looking up sports scores. All right. Number five, had to change a little bit there. Volunteer in Sunday school, not every month, but once a year. That would be good. All right. And number six, bring your leftover coffee change for the offering. Because nobody carries money in your pocket anymore to church. And number seven, try to get to church at least by the second song. Do I hear an amen from Pastor?
Amen.
Yes. New Year's resolutions. Well, what we want to do this morning is we want to overcome some fears of failures. Well, let's just take a little illustration here. we make a New Year's resolution. We want to lose weight. We want to get fit. Probably everybody has that happen in their life sometime or another. We get a gym membership. We join Weight Watchers. We buy a treadmill. And we say, well, you know, I'm going to do all the right things. We get a tape measure, you know, one of those little cloth tape measures, and you measure everything, and you find out it's not big enough. You have to go to the garage and get a real tape measure. And you cut back on all the unnecessary food. You say, you know, I was eating 6 slices of bread a day, so I'm going to go down to 5. And you're going to eat less cheese. You know, I heard about a guy said he quit out eating ice cream and he lost 20 pounds. I thought, man, oh man, you know, you must have been eating a lot of ice cream, you know. And so you're going to cut back on your cheese and not a double cheese on your cheeseburger anymore. And you're going to drink more water, 7 gallons of water every day. But you're going to have to start wearing a Depend. And you're going to eat more green stuff until you start feeling like you're a cow and burping it up and chewing your cud later on. And you're going to drink smoothies, you know, put all that junk in there, drink it up. My wife makes them and I can't bear to drink them. You wear out your pair of running shoes on the treadmill. You sweat like you're in July. And the big moment comes. You go in the bathroom. And there it is waiting for you on the floor. The scales. What did you say? Non-repeatable from the front pew. And so, you take off your clothes and you get on the scales and you look down and... Yeah, you got to take off your clothes. And you get on the scale and you know how there's all those little pounds on there, but there's all these little dashes in between? And you look down and you're like, you're just a few dashes less. Like, just a few little dashes, like, come on. And so you think, you know what? It's the socks. I still have the socks on. And so you take off your socks. I still got my bathrobe on. And those stupid snails, that's the problem. They're wrong all the time. Or, you know, you ever get on them and you kind of lean on the front of the thing and you kind of step on them slowly and... Let your weight down, hoping that it's going to change. And all that, all your aspirations, all your hopes of losing those 50 pounds in that first month are gone. And what do? You go in depression and eat 4 pieces of toast. You give up. You fail. You fail. You feel like you're a failure. Have you ever failed at something that you had great aspirations, you had great hopes, great desires, great everything... And it fell through. You know, they tell us that these New Year aspirations or goals, resolutions, 75% of those we never fulfill. 75%. That's why I didn't see very many hands here this morning because, you know, you tried and you gave up and you thought, what's the use of making any plans? Let's try because, you know what, I'm going to fail again. I'm going to fail again. You know, this all applies to our spiritual walk. Comes down to our own spiritual walk. Why do we not try? Many times because we failed. You know, there's a statistic in that they found out that we humans, 100% of us, 100% have failed. Isn't that interesting? That we've all failed. There's not one human being on the face of the earth that has never failed. Wow. Think about it. Look at these guys here. You ever hear of this fellow? Some people say he's still failing, but anyway. He failed at his business. Look at what it says. Left and broke 5 times before he founded the successful Ford Motor Company. Look at this guy. You probably don't even know who he is. But he invented Sony. Sony. I have a Sony phone. Wow, he's everywhere. If he never tried, would he have succeeded? What about all those times that he failed? The Beatles were told by a recording company that they didn't like their sound and that the guitar music was on the way out. Wow. What if they had packed it in with their guitars and Ringo Starr had never picked up the drumsticks? What about the Beatles? Well, I'm not saying all these examples are good examples. Thomas Edison, we know his story about the light bulb. 1,000 times he tried. Every time. Could you imagine the first time, second time, third time, fifth time? trying to find that right filament in that little bright light bulb that wouldn't burn out. Every time he put that electricity to it, burn out again. Second time. I marvel at him myself to think, well, you know, after the 500th time, you kind of come to reality and say, folks, you know, it's not possible. You can't do it. Give up, buddy. But he didn't. And we have our light bulbs today. And there's a few other things that he invented on the bottom there. This character here, perhaps you've heard of him before. Rejected 3 times from the University, look at that, of Southern California School of Theater, Film and Television. Wow. Star Wars, anybody hear of Star Wars before? George Lucas, Star Wars. Indiana Jones, a few of those films up there, you see. Boy, all because of Fred Astaire. I could show you a film of my fancy footwork here this morning. I've been working on some Fred Astaire steps. But went on. Harrison Ford, you've heard about him. Was told by the movie execs at his first film that he simply didn't have what it takes to be a star. What if he had quit? Walt Disney. He lacked imagination and had no good ideas. What about ourselves? What do we not do because of failure in the past, in our spiritual lives? We set goals. We say we're going to read the Bible more this new year. Maybe we'll make a goal. We're going to read the Bible through in a year. And we make a prayer list. You know, maybe get it all ready, a little book, and make our prayer list. We get up earlier in the morning. We decide we're going to really, you know, I'm going to really dig in. I even got to download a Bible app on my phone, so whenever I'm out there, you know, I'll be able to. And instead, I'm going to listen to CHRI instead of that country station. And so I make all these just really, you know, I carry tracts around with me so I can leave them in the men's urinal and hope somebody's going to pick one up. And in the bathroom at church. And I really sing on Sunday morning. I really get into there. Boy, I'm going to sing with all my heart. And I put my phone down. I'm not going to look up the scores. And I do read the whole church bulletin. I have made some really good resolutions that I've determined to follow through. But you know what happens? Every one of us, some of those things begin to slide. And that aspiration to read through the Bible in a whole year, what happens? You know, we've missed a couple chapters, and then by the third week, the fourth week, we're so far behind that we think, I'm going to have to spend, just regular all kinds of time just to catch up. So I thought, maybe I'll just forget about that, and I'll go back to reading the Daily Bread. I'm going to look up the actual scriptures in the Daily Bread. You ever read the Daily Bread and just read the little stories, and you really don't look up the scripture? Yeah, well, I've done that. Because we don't have time, or we're... That Bible app, I had to get rid of it because I downloaded 2 new games on my phone and I didn't have room for the game, so I had to get rid of the Bible app. And so, you know, I'm kind of back to where I was before. You say, well, you know what, that sounds kind of ridiculous. Yeah, it is ridiculous. Failures. We have failures. You know, if we're really honest here this morning, there's a whole lot of failures right here in Harmony. I'm looking at them. You say, what are you talking about? I'm not a failure. Well, you're looking at one this morning, a failure. We've all failed. I haven't read through the Bible my whole life. You say, well, you're a Christian, you're a Bible. What do you mean? Well, you know, maybe if I kind of took all the chunks and all the books and studied and read, maybe I could say I have. But to sit down like some people do, they read the whole Bible through in a year. That's a wonderful, wonderful accomplishment every year. But I haven't done that. What have you failed at this past year? At your parenting skills? At your marriage skills? At your spirituality? So what can we do when we fail? We can get very disappointed. We can become discouraged. And then what we do is we eventually give up. We don't make any plans. We don't have any aspirations. We just settle into nothingness. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. You know, we did a Bible study on Tuesday night at Carl's, and it's nice to have Carl here this morning. And it was on the life of Samson. And I kind of really got excited about Samson, you know, studying it, and I just started digging into it. And about 3 weeks into this study, I said, listen, you know, to myself, I don't like this guy. He's just one failure after another. He's a mess. And, oh, man, the more I studied about him, the more I got upset. You know, finally, I was going to talk to Bonnie. I said, listen, we're forgetting about this Samson. We're going to, you know, we're talking about Joseph. I love Joseph, you know. Very little failure in him, or conquering all kinds of things, you know, came through all kinds of adverse circumstances. But Samson, he disregarded his family upbringing. You know, his mother and father gave him advice, don't go down there and marry that girl down there, that Philistine girl. The Philistines were terrible enemies, and don't marry. Now go down there and get that girl for me. And marriage didn't go through, got in a big mess. And then he, you know, he started sleeping with harlots. Every time he'd go down to the Philistine territory, he was in bed with another harlot. Man, oh man, he was just all and is disregarded. He had Nazarite vows that he was not to take anything from the vine, any kind of grape or drink, anything like that. And we know the one very much about, he wasn't cut his hair. And another one, he wasn't touch any dead things. And well, he broke all of them. Broke them all. And we know the glass played around, finally went down to this lady here by the name of Delilah. And there he finally gave the secret to his strength. And the scripture says this, a little statement about Samson's life in that little episode that he had with Delilah. When she finally cut his hair, and the Philistines came in, gouged out his eyes, you know, what a horrible thing. And there he was, and he realized not, it says, that the Spirit of God had left him. He didn't realize it. He had done so much failure in his life that he didn't even realize when God was gone from him. Wow, what a tragic story. I just thought, I don't even like talking about this. Why did God put all these failures in the Bible? Think about them. Think about Abraham. Think about the failure that he was. You say, well, Abraham, did he really fail? Yeah, he failed lots of times. Stayed in the land. Should have stayed, but he fled down to Egypt. And he got into trouble there. And then remember, he had a child from the handmaid and got into trouble there. Well, we're still in trouble because of that mistake. What about Moses? Great Moses. Oh, Moses, what did he do? He took it into his own hands to deliver the Hebrew people from the Egyptians and killed that man and ran. And then he hid and he was off in the desert there and he was afraid. He was a failure. And he knew it himself. And later, even when he was in the promise, when he was going through the wilderness, remember how he got mad and struck the rock? Just, you bunch of people! He was angry. He failed. There's consequences for failure, we know that. What about King David? Wow. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And that you look at some of the things that happened in his life. He failed. He got up on the rooftop when he should have been out of the battle. What did he see down on the rooftop? You know what he saw on the rooftop. And you know the tragedy that ensued from that little action. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Murder. And then his son just doing terrible things in the family. His whole family turned into a mess. Failure, failure, failure. Oh, and then we come to the New Testament. Peter. Think about Peter. I like that song. I want to read something to you here. And it's found in Luke chapter 22, and you can follow along with me if you like to. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. Talks about Peter's life. A little scripture here. Verse 54, maybe your version is a little different. It says, then they seized him. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. And then they seized him and led him away. That was Jesus. Bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. In verse 56, then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looked closely at him and said, this man also was with him. In verse 57, but he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. In verse 59, and after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. And then verse 60, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Wow. What a statement right there. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. I want to show you a little clip here. We're going to see if we can get the sound up. Failure. Wow. You think something like that would dismiss Peter from any kind of role in the church for sure, wouldn't you think? All these that we've talked about, Abraham, Moses, all the saints, Samson, you know, kind of an amazing little statement that talks about in Hebrews. Chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith, it talks about Samson being there by faith. Samson. What? By faith, Samson? The failure Samson? God, you are able to use the failure Samson? Over and over and over and over again, the terrible things that he had done and disregarded your word and his upbringing, and still you used him in the chapter of Hebrews. It talks about by faith Samson. Oh, That doesn't compute, or does it? Where would we be here this morning if it wasn't by the grace of God? Would any one of you be here this morning? Would we be here? Would I be here if it wasn't for His mercy on my life and on the failures of my life time and time again? He said, well, I never did any things like Samson, or, you know, I didn't do all those terrible things. Oh, but the Bible says we've all sinned. That means we've all failed. You know, I don't know if you've ever had an experience like Peter. No, I don't know if any of us have ever had that. But there's been times when I wept bitterly at the things that I had failed at because I didn't do it the right way. I failed in thinking my own aspirations were, you know, as a young Christian, I had great zeal and great desire to follow the Lord. In fact, I was going to follow the Lord better than anybody else. I looked at some of the old people in the church and I thought, you know, they're kind of dry and dead. And boy, but when I come to the Lord, I'm going forward. And, you know, the old guy comes and takes you aside. Now, son, I think maybe you just need to go back off, you unbelieving old person. And I surged ahead. I was going to win the world. Yes, sirree. I was going to take more than tracks. I was going to serve. I was going to lead every person to the Lord at my work. First, I had to go around and make restitution. Made a terrible mess of that. There's times when you shouldn't make restitution to certain things, you know. But my old holiness upbringing, because whenever I was at work before, there was a guy with a fairly large nose. And all us guys had made fun of him. And when I came to the Lord, I felt, I need to go back to that man and confess to him that we'd made fun of his big nose. That really went over well. And then when I went to him and I confessed, I kind of hedged around, you know, about the nose part. And then I went home and I felt guilty that I really didn't bring out the nose part. So I had to go back to him again. He said, oh my, Jerry. Foolishness, foolishness. It's not like, it's kind of like a thing you shouldn't go to your wife and say, you know, those jeans are starting to look a little tight on you, you know. There's certain things you just don't go to, all right? So, but in my desire and my foolishness, it's like a young person that wants to go to Africa. He feels called of God to go to Africa and win the world and win the souls of Africa. And sometimes we need to count the cost. One of the things in following the Lord, and that's one of the things about our failure. We fail to count the cost. If you want to lose weight, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to start not buying the cookies. Don't go down. You don't go shopping when you're hungry. And you'll go shopping with your husband because he'll put all kinds of things in there that you didn't want in there. And so yeah, there's a cost that we count. And there's a cost for success. If you looked at all those men that we saw on that little posters there, there was a cost for every one of them and what they did. Sometimes it takes grace, perseverance. Not everybody's like Justin Bieber that puts his thing on YouTube and some big star down there in Hollywood hears him sing and says, you know, I'm going to hire that kid because he's such a good singer. And all of a sudden he's a worldwide name. That doesn't happen to a lot of people. Sometimes it takes a lot of sweat. It takes a lot of perseverance. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of losing your own self to become a success. There's a lot of other people that had to go through that route. And some people look at those and think, that's kind of nice to be handed on a silver plate, success. You see, whenever we fail, there's oftentimes what's happening is the Lord sometimes is trying to teach us a lesson. You know, there's a scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, why do you fail? If that's true, why have you ever failed? Well, I didn't trust the Lord sometimes. I didn't do it right. Well, perhaps, or maybe the Lord allows us to fail so that He'll guide our direction in a different way. Sometimes He allows us to fail so that we'll learn some lessons. Sometimes He allows us to fail so we won't be so judgmental about the guy that's beside us in the church that falls. And we'll look over at him and we'll have compassion on him because of what he's gone through, because you can identify, because you know, brother, I fell too. So you see, there's lessons to be learned. Nobody gets up and thinks what we can do. Whenever you first got your skates on, my son Andrew took his girlfriend skating at the arena, and I don't know if she'd ever had skates on before, But no, she hadn't. All right. And so there she was, hobbling along. Andrew's trying to hold her. Is there any expectation whenever she puts those skates on that she's going to zoom around the rink? No, there isn't there? There's quite a few expectations, a reality check that comes and says, you know what, you're probably going to fall. Whenever we become a new Christian, you know what happens? We need to sit down with these new believers and say, you know, it's going to be tough. You're going to fall. No, I'll never fall. You're just an unbelieving old person. No, you know what? I'll be here to help you when you get up. I'm here not to condemn you. Whenever we get some new Christians in the church and they fall down, and if we look over at them and point our finger at them with a judgmental finger, shame on us. You know, Daniel talks about going to Bible school. You know, when I first went to Bible school, boy, I tell you, I was raw. I was rough. And there were some of the guys there in Bible school, they didn't think too much of me and what I, the way I lived and the way I spoke, and it was pretty rough around the corners. But you know what? I was there in Bible school for about 2 years, and then a new guy came in. And I looked at that guy and I thought, oh boy, tell you, he's a bad one. When you come to this school, you're going to learn a few lessons, because us godly older students will teach you some things. That we were, well, I guess we were a lot like that. Do we count the cost? You know, Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 14, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost? Whether he has enough to complete it. Well, he's got enough money to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see him will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. There's a cost for following the Lord. And there is a fear of failure, and there's people that come and say, well, you know, I can never follow the Lord because, you know, I couldn't be holy enough. I'm not good enough. I couldn't make it. And we have unrealistic expectations of ourselves, of what we can do and what we can't do. You know, there's a little thing called, I had an illustration happen for you. I'll show you the picture here. This is the first mural I ever painted in all my mural years. And there was a lady at the Woodvale Pentecostal Church. And we'd done some ministry there, and she saw me draw these little cartoons on the, you know, for the kids. And then she came to me and she said, Jerry, I want you to come. I've got a nursery. I want you to paint a mural on the wall for me. You know, Jesus and the children. And I said, well, yeah, sorry, Dorothy, but I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't draw, you know, paint on a wall. You know, I just do these little cartoons. And she said, no, I want you to come and paint. I think you can do it. And I said, no, you can forget about it. I don't do that kind of thing. So then a little while went by, and she gave me a call. And she said, Jerry, I'm still thinking about that mural on the wall. I want you to come and paint the mural on the wall. And I said, Dorothy, I told you, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And I'm colorblind to start off with, and so forget it. And I said, well, put it down. Called me up again. She said, Jerry, I've been thinking about this. I really believe the Lord wants you to paint this mural on the wall. Well, you've heard wrong. It's not the Lord. You're talking to the wrong person. I can't do it. You know, what kind of disaster will happen from that mural? You just have no idea. I do not want to do it because I'll make it look like a fool. I'll fail. And you'll go, what did you do in the nursery? What are those things on the floor? They look like little monsters. Like, what, Jesus, who is he, a Frankenstein? What were you trying to paint? Ah! I can't do it, Dorothy! Don't bother talking to me ever again about this! Well, I think it was, I don't know how many times later, she finally talked me into it. And I went with great fear and trembling, color blindness and all the things, and I endeavored to paint this mural. And, you know, I can look at it today and see there's a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I got paint on the carpet. You know, the treasurer came up after and he said, you got green paint on the carpet. Like, you didn't see the mural, bud? You just saw the green carpet? And like, you know, yeah, okay, I'll try and remember, you know, like, oh, I made a whole lot of things that I didn't know. I tried to use spray cans, like, down to try and paint everything. And I thought, there's got to be a better way. I had all kinds of mistakes. But I finally finished it, and Dorothy came in when she was ecstatic. And she said, I want you to paint another mural, and another mural, and another mural, and another mural. And the church has heard about it, and I've painted murals all over the place. Because somebody believed in me, even regardless of what I didn't believe in myself. And you see, we as Christians, sometimes we require other people to believe in us, don't we? We need, and most of all, the Bible says that God believes in us, doesn't He? So whenever He says we can do all things through Christ, what is He saying? Does that mean all things, anything? Now, sometimes it means that we will fail, even though we think we're doing what God wants us to do, because He wants us to grow, He wants us to mature, and maybe He wants us to change our path. I always thought I'd like to be a race car driver. And Bonnie says, I can't do that on the roads anymore. Sometimes we come to the parking lot here and do donuts. Oh, I'm sorry. Raymond just found out. Now that the pavement's here in the wintertime, it'll be great, Raymond. Those front-wheel drive cars are hard, though. You got to go backwards. What does this say here? There's an important little scripture here. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider, and this is Paul writing here, he says, I don't consider myself to attained. In other words, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. In fact, if you go back in that scripture, I believe in chapter 3, verse 12, he talks about that. But he says, I am single-minded, and what does he do? He forgets. What does he do? He forgets some of the things that in the past that he failed at. Forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting the past failures of 2015. The past mistakes that you made. We have to forget those. You know, I was lying in my bed one day, one night, I don't know when it was, early in the morning maybe, and I had a wave of all these failures in my life. I thought about all the failures that just, they came back to me, you know, a failure here and a failure there and a failure here and a failure there, and I just lay in bed thinking, my God, what a mess I've made. All the terrible things I've done in my life. But who comes to us with our failures? It's the condemner of our soul. It's the enemy that comes. And when you are fallen on your knees and you're down on the ground, and what does he come and he says, fine Christian you are, some example you are, look at you, look at what you did, you despicable. And if we listen to his lies, we'll lie on the floor and we'll crawl around and we'll never do anything for God. We'll never do anything. You know, I got a picture here of a little lady. Her name was Sister Ida. And I was feeling pretty low, feeling like I hadn't accomplished very much in my life. I was discouraged. And she hadn't really done anything. She was a farmer's wife, taught Sunday school for quite a few years, but nothing really spectacular. Hadn't done anything to really show any great success in the world's eyes. But she came to me and she said, you know, just be faithful, Jerry. Just be faithful. Sometimes there's only 30-fold, sometimes 60, and sometimes 100. Sometimes we don't ever see the 100. Sometimes we don't ever see the 60. And maybe all we ever see is 10 or 15 or even 5. What is the Lord calling you to this new year? The worst thing that you could say is, I'm a failure and I could never become a Christian. I could never follow Him. Paul says there, he says, forgetting those things, I haven't achieved. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I'm still in this process. And we would look at Paul and think about all the writings and all the things that he went through, and we would go, oh, there's no way that we could ever be like Paul. I could never be like Paul. But I can say to him, I can say like him, Lord, I'm going to forget about those failures. I'm going to learn from them, the mistakes that I've made, and so that tomorrow in this new year that I'll endeavor to not make the same ones over and over again. And I'm going to say, Lord, you're going to help me to this new year to forge ahead. And yes, I'm going to make plans. And I'm going to set my eyes on you. That I will follow that goal, that this new year, that Harmony Church will set his eyes on Jesus. And we'll forget about the failures and forget about the people that have gone. And we look at the pew and remember, oh, what about them? Why aren't they here? What's happening to Harmony? No, we're going to look ahead to the horizon. We're going to look to the harvest fields that are white out there now. They're waving, waiting for us to come. Let's not look around, folks. Let's look to Him. Let's not be discouraged at where we are today, but let's look at Him and say, Jesus, You are my example. You know, we can't look at His life anywhere and see failure. We can't see. We can't put a finger on it. You know, Paul wasn't even successful in all his life. How many guys did he witness to? Felix and all those guys. Festus, to the Jews, to the Gentile philosophers. They didn't come to the Lord. They didn't get saved. You're a failure, Paul. But what did he do? He said, I have fought the fight, the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, even in spite of my struggles. Where are you this morning? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the failures in our life, that we can look back and say, Lord, I'm going to learn from those mistakes, things that I blundered up, things that I walked in my own wisdom, things that I had too much expectation in, things that you didn't want me to go into and walk areas. And Lord, I thank you for those failures. And that this new year, Lord, help me to walk in wisdom. Help me to ask for counsel from some of those older folks who put their hand on my shoulder and say, just be faithful. Take one day at a time and obey the Lord. And don't be afraid of failure. Thank you, Jesus, that your mercy is poured out to us this morning. Oh, that your grace is poured out to us. To everyone in this room right here this morning that says, I love you. And as that song says, He's a good, good Father. He loves us. He loves us with such fatherly love. Oh, He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. I want to close with a little illustration. You know, at Christmas time, one Christmas we bought our children all little red shovels, snow shovels. You know, little plastic ones about this big. Child labor. First snowfall comes out there. Come on, children, we're going to go shovel the laneway. You know, my little sons are out there. Boy, you don't have to worry about a thing anymore, Dad. I'm going to take care of it for you. And, you know, you look out the picture window and there's all these little zigzags and little piles of snow here and there and pathways. And they got carried away making snowmen, and the laneway was really looked like a mess. But what did I look out and see as a father? I saw my children. I saw those little boys trying to do their best. Looking up at the window, look at me, Dad, shoveling that laneway. What did my heart think? I was proud. Somebody could come in and say, what a mess they made of that laneway. No, no, no. I saw their heart. There's somebody up and looked up there right now, and he's looking down at you. And maybe your little shovel with that little snow hasn't been very straight. Maybe you got sidetracked a few times. And maybe you thought you made a mess yourself. But there's a father looking down, and he's proud of you. Because he loves you. And he cares for you. Don't go out of this church this morning saying, I can't do it. I can't make it. He's there. He's like reaching out to Peter's hand in the water, sinking. He's grabbing a hold of you and he's picking you up. Come on, Peter. You can make it. Look at what Peter went on to do. The church of Jesus Christ. Wow. He's here for you this morning. Praise His name.
the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Word of benediction this morning. I'm sure you all have the Spirit of God working in you, because God is always trying to rescue us, and the enemy is always trying to bring condemnation upon our lives. No one knows it more than my wife how many times I think I've failed the church, failed you people. How many times I'm just ready to say, that's it. How can I pastor? How can I be a father? How can I be a husband? You know, some of you are in that same thing. You want to start this year off, I'm sure there'll be those who'll be glad to pray with you. If you want to spend some time at the altar in prayer today, just talking to Jesus. Giving those things to Him. Letting His Spirit confirm Himself in you. May the grace of our God that is revealed through Jesus Christ, the power of His Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of you until we meet again. Go in wholeness and in peace.